Hi, this is Steve Chandler, and I wanted to talk to you today about expectation, and expectation contrasted with agreement. Really, we have two choices in life when we relate to other human beings. One is to have expectations, and the other is to create agreements. Expectations are toxic, and they ruin people's chances at a good relationship. Let me give you an example of that. I went to work with a company recently, and they had all kinds of performance breakdowns and productivity breakdowns, and I was asked to go train them in the owner-victim choice so that perhaps morale could be lifted a little bit among the people on the line who were creating the products. Well, the real problem was in the leadership. The leaders had expectations of their people. So they would walk around expecting certain things. They would expect certain levels of job performance. They would expect quotas to be met. They would expect certain quality standards to be hit. And they had all these expectations. And then there were the people themselves who were trying to live up to the expectations of the leaders, and really resenting the leaders because they said most of the expectations were unreasonable. They didn't really realize how understaffed they were and stressed they were. So the whole place was in a morale crisis, I would say, a total morale crisis. And as I moved among the leaders and talked to them and tried to figure out how can we fix this, they would tell me about a certain employee who wasn't living up to expectations. And I would say, well, okay, so what's the expectation? And they would say, well, we expect him to get this job done by Friday so the customer can have it. The customer expects it. We promised the customer the job on Monday, so we want it finished at the plant by Friday. And I said, okay, great. So what happened? Well, it wasn't done. And it wasn't done until next Thursday. So the customer was very upset. Pretty soon, we lost our preferred status with the customer, and everything went downhill. Well, I said very quietly, who was in charge of that product being done? And he said, well, the supervisor in the plant. I asked him a question that startled him, or at least quietly left him speechless. I said, what was your agreement with him? And he looked at me as if I had asked him, have you taken a ballet lesson lately? Or some very strange question. And he didn't answer. And then he said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, on the matter of getting this done by Friday, what was your agreement? And he said, well, you mean I have to have an agreement with everybody? I got to go around and get an agreement? He knew I expected it by Friday. He got my email. He knew the customer was expecting it by Monday. I don't want to have to go hold his hand. He's a professional. I'm a professional. And I said, well, look, here's what doesn't work in the workplace. Expectations. People do not look forward to living up to expectations. In fact, people rebel against expectations. They don't like it that you expect things of them. They would rather you agree with them about something. And so we worked together. I brought the foreman in. We sat down. He said, do you agree to have the next job ready by Friday? And the foreman said, well, I would like to, but I'm a little understaffed, so I can't promise it for sure. And the leader looked a little startled and said, well, what can you promise for sure? If you gave me one extra person to work on it, I could promise it Friday for sure. If I don't have an extra person, I can promise it next Tuesday for sure. The leader thought for a while, and he said, I'll give you an extra person. Now, with an extra person, what can I count on? Well, you can count on Friday. Thank you. They shook hands. Now, that's an agreement. That's so much stronger than an expectation. And yet, most people I work with who are leaders, their biggest problem is that they walk around with expectations of people. And so I go to coach them, executive coaching, sit down, what's going on? Well, I got problems with this person, I've got problems with that person. And I find out the reason they have problems is because they don't have agreements. They have expectations, and the expectations are not being met. What they don't have is agreements. Now, here's a funny thing about human beings. Human beings will love to keep an agreement that they co-authored with you. So if you sit down and you work with someone and ask them what you can count on and allow them to ask you for the help they need from you to be able to make the promise, wonderful things happen because you can find out in advance why certain things aren't going to occur. You don't have to keep fixing them later and keep resenting the people who don't live up to your expectations. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that agreements, on the one hand, are creative. It takes two people creating and recreating and negotiating and designing together an agreement. So they're very creative. So they're a lot more fun than walking around with expectations, because expectations are stressful. They lead to anxiety. They lead to disappointment and even a sense of betrayal at times. So agreements are courageous and they are creative, courageous and creative. Whereas expectations, on the other hand, they are not creative. They're reactive. They're fear-based. And as a matter of fact, I'll even say they're cowardly, because expectations allow a person to put the blame, the responsibility for everything on other people. So if you're a person who walks around with expectations of other people, only two things can happen, and none of them are good. One thing can happen. You can have an expectation of someone, and they don't live up to it. Well, that's not fun. You're disappointed. Sometimes you're even betrayed if it was a serious expectation. The other thing that can happen is you have an expectation and they do live up to it. Now what? Well, I'm just neutral. Nothing. I expected it. And so you say someone did this, they showed up to the meeting on time. You say, well, that's what I expected. So what? So you either have a life of so what, which is a life of nothingness, a life of just empty, nothing, boredom, ennui, what's the point? Is that all there is? Or you have a life of disappointment. Those are your two choices. You have a life of really being disappointed in the behavior of others. I'm so disappointed in my son. I'm so disappointed in my managing partner. I'm so disappointed in my spouse. I feel betrayed by my ex-spouse, totally betrayed. Now, that's what life is like when the human mind and heart walk around with nothing but expectations. That's life. Either profound disappointment, which is usually the case, or just nothing, nothing at all, boredom, like a mild anxiety, kind of a low-grade resentment with a sense of worry that, yeah, she lived up to my expectation now, but what about tomorrow? I don't know what that'll bring. I could be bitterly disappointed by her. So that's life in the world of expectations. And expectations are not necessary. It's actually possible to have no expectations of anyone and only have agreements when you need one. Now, a lot of times, my work involves helping clients who are having problems with their partner, their spouse, their life partner, whatever is the politically correct way to say it these days. They're having trouble with their partner. And so maybe they might have had a fight with their partner. And they're gloomy, and I sit down, and we're talking about productivity and performance and profit and fun things, but they're not having fun. So I finally say, well, what's going on? Well, I had a fight with my wife and we battled over this and I'm kind of depressed today. Now, it's really important to see that this whole concept of expectation versus agreement is even more important in personal relationships than it is at work, although they're both very important. In personal relationships, the more expectations I have of people I care about, the more anxious, fearful, and depressed I will be throughout my life when it comes to my family. That's why you hear people say so many negative things about their family members. It's all traceable to expectations they have. If they had no expectations, they would have nothing negative to say. It is possible, and I've worked with people who've learned to do it, to go home and walk into the home and have absolutely no expectations whatsoever of the person in that home. When you have no expectations, the only thing that's possible is a pleasant surprise. So that person does something nice or says something, and I didn't expect anything, so this is great. Anyway, no expectations is a way of life that people can develop. It leads to much higher self-esteem. It leads to a much more forgiving attitude toward every other person. You don't even expect anything. Why are you? How could you be disappointed? And so it also leads to something very courageous and something that moves life forward quickly. And that's called an agreement. If something is not occurring, if someone is not showing up on time, or let's say somebody has a spouse who says sarcastic, cutting things to me, what I might do and what I could do is, in a very happy time when our moods are good, seek an agreement. Could we have an agreement and just see how this feels to you? That we have a basic baseline of kindness in our communication. The same we have with our friends. It would never occur to us to say something cutting, sarcastic, nasty to one of our good friends. It would never occur to us. That's not what the relationship is about. How about we have the same thing? So that there isn't sarcasm, there isn't criticism, there isn't negative judgment. If that feeling occurs, we just absent ourselves from the room or take a deep breath and process it. We don't have to act on it or hurt the other person to get rid of it. A lot of people think, if I have negative feelings, if I'm judging someone critically, if I'm upset with someone, it's healthy to say it. It's healthy to attack. It's healthy to hurt someone else, because that takes the hurt out of me, and I say something hurtful to you, and the hurt in me is intolerable. But at least I can tolerate it when I'm hurting you and it goes over to you. Now, how sensible and loving is that, really? I had a client who said he had a fight with his wife. And I asked him, how was it? Well, he said, you know, you've had those. And I said, no, I really haven't. And he said, oh, come on. I said, I really haven't. Kathy and I have been together for over 15 years. We've never had a fight. And he said, what? I forgot. You're a saint, right? But I'm not. I'm a regular person. I said, no, it's not that. I'm not a saint at all. In fact, if you look at my biography, I probably shouldn't be allowed to walk the earth a free man. So I'm not a saint. But I'll tell you that I don't fight. And it's for the same reason that I don't punch the pizza delivery boy when he's late. Or I don't strangle a cat in my backyard and kill it. Same reason exactly. I don't want to. I've decided that that is not the kind of behavior I want to indulge in. I won't do it. It's not useful. Now, people who say, oh, fights are great, aren't they? They clear the air. They purge things. They're so wonderful. Well, the only people I've ever heard say that are divorced people, are now divorced. Because no, they're not wonderful. They're hurtful, they're unforgettably hurtful, and they're mean, and they're selfish, and every fight is just bitterly selfish. It's like two babies scratching their eyes out. A mature, grown-up human being would never do that to another grown-up, ever. in a rational state of mind. You must melt down and let the toxic poison of expectation flood your emotions to fight. You have to. Expectations are what lead to fights, arguments, and judgment of another human being. If I have no expectations, but only agreements, that won't occur. It will not occur. So even in personal relationships, expectations are toxic and they're cowardly. It is cowardly to walk around with a ton of expectations for other human beings. I expect this, I expect this of him, I expect you to be on time to the meeting, I expect. That is cowardly, because that's putting it on you. And if I'm a true leader, if you're consistently late for my team meeting, that's me. That's me, that's not you. That's lack of leadership. That's on me, but I'm too much of a coward to take responsibility for the fact that I have a team that thinks it's okay to stroll in late to meetings. I'm too much of a coward, so I make that you. And I even say to you the expectation word, which, by the way, when people hear the word expectation, they go down their ladder into a very rebellious, nasty state whenever they hear the word. So let's say you show up late for the meeting. And I say, well, I expect you to be on time for these meetings. Or I call you aside later. I don't want to embarrass you in front of the whole room. And I say, you know, I expect you to be on time for our meetings. Now, whenever you hear what some other human, superior human being expects of you, notice the feeling in your body. Is it warm? Does it open you? Do you feel like embracing that person? No. What usually happens when you hear the E word, expectation, you get a knot in your stomach, you clench up, you get tight, you contract, and you start building your defense. You begin to defend against what the other person expects. Human beings were not put on this planet to live up to the expectations of others. They weren't put here for that. They know that deep down. They have a rebellious, free spirit in them that knows it was not put here to live up to another mortal human being's expectations. It knows that. Therefore, whenever you use the expectation word, you create rebellion. You create less likelihood that what you expect will now happen. Less likelihood by expecting it. So by expecting something, you make it go away. You don't draw it to you. You chase it away because it's toxic, it's cowardly, it is radioactive, it is cancerous expectation. I can't stress it enough. I've never seen it work. Any kind of positive benefit in any relationship, personal or otherwise, I've never seen it work. I've never seen it bring people closer together. I've never seen it make one partner more faithful. I've never seen it do anything but damage, terrible damage, every time it's used inside the human system. Now, what I have seen work beautifully, on the other hand, in the other way, is agreements. So the person's late for meeting, I meet with them and say, let's you and I create an agreement. And I'll tell you why I'm requesting we create an agreement. I would like to have you at the meeting, the whole meeting, from beginning to end, every time. You're that valuable to me. You're that important to me. You're that important to the rest of the team. Your strolling in late does not work for me. It's not wrong. It's not unjustified. It simply doesn't work in what I'm creating. Now, let's you and I talk so we can get an agreement. And an agreement is something that works for you. Otherwise, I don't want you to agree to it. So we work on an agreement together. I understand the other person's concerns. They were in another person's meeting that morning that got out late. We find a way to have that not be the case anymore. We agree. We shake hands. We now have an agreement. Now, here's the funny thing about human beings. Human beings do not like breaking their word. And I mean all human beings, including criminals. You follow the Godfather movies, you know the oath, you know honor among thieves as a concept. That's very real. That wasn't made up. People will keep their word. People will not live up to your expectations. In fact, most people will find a way not to live up to your expectations. But they will keep their word. And they will keep their agreements. That's been my experience the last 10 years working with leaders who move away from leading people through expectation and by expectation and move over to agreement. They are very surprised. People who they told me, well, I don't think he'll keep the agreement. Well, try it. See. Tell me afterwards. Because if he breaks agreements, if he doesn't keep his own word, that's a beautiful opportunity to have another discussion in which you agree to keep your agreements with each other. That can be a very powerful conversation. When you give me your word, will you keep it? Can I count on it? Will you not give me your word if you don't intend to keep it? Can we start there? And if we don't have that agreement, how can we have a relationship? If someone will actually tell you that their word means nothing, that they're going to lie to you, they're going to tell you they're going to do something and then not do it, you can't have that person even as an employee because the basic social contract is not there. So people will keep their agreements. Such a high percent of the time, you don't need to worry about the few times they don't. And the times when they don't are such wonderful opportunities to sit down with them and say, let's look at our basic agreement with each other on how we serve each other in this organization or in this family. It always works the same way in personal life as it does in the workplace. It's always the same. It's a little more intense in family. It's a little more charged up. And that's only because expectations are higher. I expect you to make me feel romantic and attractive. I expect you to make me feel appreciated. I expect you to make me feel loved and celebrated for bringing money home. I expect you to make me feel this and that. That's how there's fights and abuse and divorce and all kinds of things in families, because the expectations are crazy. They've riddled the body like a cancer. And expectation is very much like a cancer inside someone. It is totally toxic, and it robs that human being of life. If I walk into a conversation expecting something of the conversation, I can't be open. I can't be surprised. I can't be surprising. I can't really have fun. So it's running into someone unexpectedly. This is the most fun in life. What an unexpected pleasure, people say. Can we hear them when they say it? Are we really listening? What an unexpected pleasure. There's no pleasure like it. An unexpected pleasure. If you expect the meeting to be pleasurable, you can either have it turn out to be what I expected, which is nothing, zero feeling, or I'm disappointed. You know people, and I know people, who live a life of disappointment. I have clients, and I sit down with them, and I go through the roster. They even talk about their spouse, who's the co-owner of the company. How are things going with him? And she says, I'm very disappointed in the following five things. Well, how are things with your marketing director? I've been very disappointed. How are things in the market? I've been very disappointed. And this person is a nervous wreck. You can see it. They're twitching. They're nervous. Their self-esteem is low. They're scared. They're worried. Why? Expectations. Disappointments. Expectations. Disappointments. People who have expectations expect other people to make them feel the feelings they expect to feel and don't. And all of life is that way for them. I expected this job to be bad. I expect this company to do this. I expected this company to take better care of me as far as my health care. I expected that. I expected, and these are the most unhappy people in the world. If you don't like a situation, go create an agreement that changes it. If you don't like a situation, go create an agreement that changes it. Do not simmer in the toxic, cancerous juices of your own expectations, or you will be miserable and you will not produce at the level you could produce at and have a very happy, surprising, unexpectedly happy life. What an unexpected pleasure life is to a child. And then expectations start to accumulate, and it gets really bad, and it gets really stressful. It's not necessary to have any expectation whatsoever of anyone, ever. It's not necessary. And not only is it not necessary, every time you do, you bring yourself down. And you're less creative, you're less innovative, and you have less energy for the problems of life, and you have no sense of adventure anymore. It's just being let down, being disappointed, being betrayed, being upset. It's a general sense. And if you walk through the typical organization that I'm called in to work with, you will find a large percent of people willing to tell you what they're upset about and what they're disappointed in today. And if you switch the topic to their families, boy, be ready. Mark at least a couple hours off your calendar. Be ready to hear it. You will hear such a litany of disappointment and such a list of expectations that have not been met by that family. If you talk about their parents when they were young, well, they have retroactive expectations. You know, really, I had expected that they would teach me about, I had expected a little more warmth from my father that I didn't get. I had expected to, and so maybe they didn't expect it at the time when they were a kid, but now looking back, they add the expectations so they can put the disappointment in there. Anyway, here's the great news in all of this. The great news is none of this is necessary. And communicating with another human being can happen without expectations. It can happen on either agreement or no agreement. It can happen on being just totally open to be surprised and delighted by that human being, to be curious about that human being, to be interested. And the beauty of moving away from expectations as a way of communicating in life over to agreements is I shift away from being at the mercy and at the effect of everyone else. I take responsibility for my happiness, for my financial well-being, for my health, for my energy level. I take full responsibility for it now. It's back to me. It's not on you anymore. And the good thing about it being back to me is that I'm the only one I can really work on anyway. You really can't work on another person to make them better. Alan Watts used to be a minister, and he would perform marriage ceremonies. And when he met with the couple before the ceremony, he said, you know, I only have one question that would disqualify me from being the person who officiates at this marriage ceremony, this wedding. I have one question of you as a couple, and that is this. If either one of you expects the other to change in some fundamental way once you're married, I will not perform this ceremony because your marriage won't work. I will not bless it. If either one of you expects the other to change in a significant way after you're married, I will not perform this wedding ceremony. Very wise man, Alan Watts.